Good evening. Thanks for joining for messages from the Midrash or Parshat Re'eh. Sometimes the Midrashim I choose from a Parsha touch on a few different sukkim, a few different themes. Sometimes they're related, but this week, in fact, we do have one theme that I want to focus on, and that is the concept of generosity. I would say that generosity is, or can be, a hard mita. It can be a difficult character trait to have. And, of course, there are times where all of us naturally are inclined to be generous, depending on the circumstance. Sometimes it comes easily to us. But at the same time, generosity can be hard. There are things that can keep us back from displaying generosity. And there's a balance. I mentioned last week in Pirkei Avos, we talked a little bit about the concept of the golden mean, that the Rambam adopted from Aristotle, that we should try to be balanced in our character traits. And one very striking example that's given is the concept of the balance between being overly generous on the one hand, in which case, say, if you're too generous with your money, then you're left with absolutely nothing for yourself, and that's not good. But on the other hand, we certainly don't want to be misers either. And generosity is just one of those things. There's always needs for generosity and where you draw that line on the one hand, and also pushing ourselves to do a little bit more on the other hand can be a little bit difficult. And learning these midrashim, I feel like I myself am learning. There are ways that I think I could be more generous with my resources, with my time. So I think this is true for every time we learn. I think especially tonight, I see this as we're learning together. I'm not here to preach Mussar towards anybody, except perhaps to myself. So let's start with a pasuk in a little bit later in Parshat Re'eh. The pasuk reads as follows: Ki yarchiv Hashem elokecha egulcha ka'asher diberlach. When Hashem enlarges your territory as He said to you. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to conquer the land. And the context of the pasuk, it really is talking about when we're not centered on the Mishkan, and to bring a korban would be very difficult. So this is the guidelines for how we're allowed to eat meat, perhaps that's chulin, that's not required to be brought as a korban. So that's the context of the pasuk. But the Midrash homes in on this concept of Hashem enlarging our territory, and Hashem enlarging what we have, giving us more. And the Midrash brings in this pasuk, Zeshe Am HaKatub Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo. A man's gift eases the way. Man's gift eases the way. So that's how it's translated here. But the word yarchiv means to widen, to broaden, to enlarge. So when a person gives, it's enlarging for him. In the sense that by sometimes the easy way to think is that if I give somebody, then I lose some. If I give something to somebody, then I lose. I'm losing something. But in reality, the more we give, the more we gain. That's the idea behind this pasuk, and that's what the Midrash is discussing here. When a person gives, when a person is generous, so Kodesh Baruch Hu is generous with him in return, and Hashem widens his opportunities, gives him more than he already had. The Midrash gives a story, Maisa Ba'avun Rama'a, the story of Avun Rama'a, Shahaya Dar Bevatzer. Avon Rama'a lived in Batzra, and implied in the name Rama'a is the word Ramai. Ramai is somebody who's deceitful, somebody cheats. But this individual is known as Avon Rama'a. But the application of the concept of a deceit here is going to be not so intuitive. It's going to go in a very different direction than you would expect. So Midrash tells us, Hachu Rabotav L'sham Mavakshim Parnasa. The rabbis went to him and asked for Parnasa. Haya Yoshev V'lo Pasak Tchila Acher Pasku Kol B'nei Ha'ir. So he sat there and he waited to announce his gift until everybody else had allocated what they wanted to give. He wanted to know how much everybody else was giving. So what would we think? We would think, why is he hesitating to announce what he plans to give? He's doing that because he doesn't want to give as much as everybody else. If everybody else is only giving $10, so he'll give $10. But he's not going to give $100 if everybody else is only going to give $10. So he wants to see, what the lowest would be. That's what you would think. But the Midrash says no. Kedei Lifso Keneged Kulan. He wanted to match what everybody else was given. Sounds like combined. So Kach Nikra Avon Rama. Because he would be tricky with the mitzvos. But here it seems like it's applied in a very positive way. So you make it seem like he wasn't planning to give, but in fact he wanted to exceed whatever expectations as possible. So Ma'asu Rabotenu, what did the rabbis do? Nitalu Voshivuhu Asfata Itzlam. They put him at the edge. It's like they put him they sat him right next to him. They gave him a lot of kavod. Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo. A man's gift eases the way, and the rest of the pasuk says Lifnei Gedolim Yanchenu, and gives him access to the great or Yanchenu to be placed. He's placed with the great. This individual who, at least at the beginning, seems like he doesn't want to give much. In fact, he wants to be exceedingly generous, and therefore he's given the kavod, and so by his generous giving, he is repaid in this sense. This reminds me of the story that they tell of this individual named Yesel the Miser. Yesel the Miser was an individual who would be approached for tzedakah, and he would always say no, I'm not giving. So it's the answer that he always gave, and people came to resent it, and people really disliked it. They ostracized him, and that's how it went. And then at some point he passed away, and he was buried, in the corner of the cemetery away from everybody else because they assumed him to be a Rasha, and nobody would want to be buried near him. Then all of a sudden, the rabbi of the community starts to get a lot of requests for it stuck. And the rabbi's wondering, where's all this coming from? Why is it all of a sudden that people are coming to me for tzedakah? How are they being fed before? Why is it all of a sudden that everybody is in a crisis at one time? Then at some point they realized that who was sustaining everybody beforehand who needed tzedakah? It was Yasala, who was called the miser, but not really a miser. He was actually being very generous. But he was being discreet. He was being a little bit ramai, even to the point of ruining his own reputation, which itself is an interesting discussion. To what extent should we be that anonymous that people presume us to be a Russia? I think that could be an interesting discussion. But he was also a little bit reminded of him. So I guess in a certain way, he wasn't initially repaid, but obviously they rectified the situation with Yesel the Miser. So this is what this reminds me of, the story of Avon Rama and his generosity. Actually, another interesting story told in Midrash Rabbah, in Varim Rabbah, that has a little bit of a similar tune. And this story goes as follows. It's based on the same pasuk that when a person's Ki Archiv Hashem et Gvulcha, when Hashem enlarges your territory, and also brings this pasuk from Mishlei, Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo, a man's gift makes room for him, enlarges his possibilities, and he's placed with great men. So they tell the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. who, and say this outside in English, and they were going to gather at Stucca, and they came to an individual named Abba Yudan, who, generally speaking, gave very generously to the Rabbanim. But then at some point, Abba Yudan lost his assets, and when he saw Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, who come collecting money, he ran inside and stayed inside. He wouldn't go out for a couple of days. At some point, his wife says to him, "Why aren't you going outside?" And he says, "The Rabbanim are coming to gather money for people learning Torah, and I can't give them anything, and I'm embarrassed. It's embarrassing for somebody who's able, who's normally able to give, to not be able to give tzedakah, can feel a little bit shameful." So, it's interesting that refers to his wife as somebody who was ohevet mitzvot, somebody who loves mitzvot. So she wasn't doing this just to make her husband feel better, but out of a genuine appreciation for mitzvot. And she said to him, "Look, listen, we still have a field, so sell half of it, and give the money from it." So he was able to sell the field for 5 golden coins. And he gave them to the rabbis. He told them, "Daven for me." And they daven for him and say, "Hashem should fulfill your needs." And then Abba Yudan goes out to work his field, and he finds a great treasure. And he becomes wealthier than he ever was before. And then the rabbis end up stumbling upon him, and they find somebody, and they say to him, "Please send our regards to Abba Yudan," and say, "Well, not be able to really approach him." And they insisted. So at some point, Abba Yudan realized that they were here, and he said, "Look, your tefillos bore fruit." So what's going on in this story? Abba Yudan had this reputation for being extremely generous, and even in a moment of great need, he still felt that proclivity for being generous. And to the point where even he was willing to reach a little bit into his pocket in a way that otherwise would have been uncomfortable. But because of his generosity, the Chachamim davened for him, and Hashem provided him and put him in an even better position than before. So Rabbi Simcha Raz in the Shimon Panim LaTorah on Parshas Re'eh says that this is more than just a nice story. There's some people who have the shame, not shame, the English word, but shame, the name, the reputation of being a giver. Not just that, I happen to give sometimes, but my essence is that I'm a giving person. Some people have that kind of reputation. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, has the name of being a giver because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't receive anything from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything, the whole universe is his. Even when we daven and we think we're giving him praise, it can't really take our praise. And therefore, when a person has the name of being a giver, they're emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Va'alach Debidracha of Imitatio Dei. That's how we're able to resemble being like Kadosh Baruch Hu. So some people have that kind of reputation. Now, for some people, being generous sometimes doesn't really hit hard so much, right? If you if somebody asks you for $100 and you're a millionaire, so giving $100, well, for some people that would be a lot. For some people, it doesn't. It's a very nice thing, and it's the right thing to do. And it's not even that it's not generous, but it's not necessarily that valiant of an effort because it's easy to do, and it resembles normalcy. And everybody has that kind of generosity that we have the ability to give something without it being something that we have to think so much about. But when a person's in a position to be generous like that, and they're big philanthropists, so on one hand it is generous, but on the other hand, it's not necessarily the same level of sacrifice. Even sometimes we do it for less altruistic reasons, for kavod, for a certain reputation, and doesn't undermine the act, but that's just what it is. But the point Rav Raz makes is that that's in distinction from some people who have very little to give. They have very little to give. They maybe have one loaf of bread for themselves, and then you give half of it to somebody else who really has nothing. So that's a scenario. you know, you could easily justify saying, you know, I need this, but that's when it becomes, you know, real generosity. That's real giving. That's a real sacrifice. And it shows also that the reason that when you're doing it, the reason why you're doing it is because you see the value of that generosity, and you know that despite the sacrifice that entails, that there's a higher purpose of doing that. And in general, somebody who's poor is still obligated to give tzedakah, because tzedakah is not just about ensuring that people have a certain sum of money, but it's about that spirit of generosity and giving and seeing the value of helping other people out, even when we ourselves may need help. So Rav Rask continues by discussing that Kadosh Baruch Hu repays mida keneged mida. And when it came to Abba Yudan, so his generosity was just the mida keneged mida was not just a fluke, and his generosity was not merely a fluke, but it demonstrates his avas Hashem, his love of Hashem, his love of mitzvos, and his love of people as well. It's the highest order when you're that generous, and when that's a trait. So it's not a bug, but it's a feature that shows your love for Hashem, mitzvos, and for people as well. And it's noteworthy that the wife of Abba Yudan was described as ohevet et hamitzvot. She's somebody who loves mitzvot. So on one hand, she cheered him up, but also but it was also her love of mitzvot that motivated her to find this solution that ultimately led to greater opportunities. And that's you know, the pasuk we say Neshes Chayil Taras Chesed Alashona. So that's what Abba Yudan's wife was in her essence, somebody who had the Torah of kindness and generosity, and we see how Kadosh Baruch Hu repays that in that story. But I think this is a beautiful story that teaches us the power of being generous, even in moments where it's difficult, or as in our original midrash, the story of Avun Ramah, that when we are marchiv, when we go above and beyond, and we widen the possibilities of what we're able to do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that for us as well. The Midrash says we also see this when it comes to Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu was known for his trait of chesed, why is this pasuk, Matam Adam Yarchiv Lo? Zeh Avraham, this is Avraham. Shirat Avachar Chamisha Mlachim. So, it's really, went after four kings. So when Lot was captured, so there's the war between the four kings and the five kings, and Lot was from Sodom. He was captured. So after Avraham defeated the four kings, so Yatzah Melech Sodom Likrato, the king of Sodom comes out to greet him. Marlo Tainli Nefesh V'Harechush Kachlach. So King Sodom is saying, give me the people back, and you can take all the possessions for yourself. Everything, all the booty from the war, you can take. And Avram says, I swear that I will not take as much of a thread or a sandal strap of what is yours. And there are certain reasons why Avram Avinu might not have wanted to do it. In the pasuk, it's implied he wants to make a point that his wealth comes from Hashem and not from other people. But my Parashat Medrash explains here that Avram felt like the spoils really belonged to the captives, and they were the ones who needed it more than he did. So Avram could have come away from this war, could have come away like a bandit. He could have come away with so much wealth as a result of this war. So based on what you said, that you're not taking as much of a thread or a sandal strap, I will sustain your children with that expression. I'm going to apply that same spirit of generosity with your children. And it invokes a pasuk from Shirim, Mayafu Pamayach Ben Alim Bat Nadiv. So Mayafu Pamayach Ben Alim is often invoked to talk about the steps, Pameich, as steps in Aliyah Mershus, to the steps for Aliyah's Aliyah LeRegel. But then the word that follows, Bat Nadiv, the word Nadiv means to be generous, and applying this idea of Avraham being extremely generous. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to repay Avraham Avinu and his descendants for his act of generosity. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to repay that to his descendants as well. And then the Midrash continues, Davar Acher Matan Adam Yarchiv Lo, Elu Yisrael, this is refers to the Jewish people. She'amar Lama HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahavin Dava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to bring a free will offering and to bring offerings for them, to bring gifts for the Mishkan, contributions, donations to the Mishkan. So Makatu Sham Behem Heviu Elav Odin Dababa Boker Baboker. They brought offerings morning after morning. So what's going on here? So they brought everything that was needed for the Mishkan. So the things that they could bring right away, that very first morning, whatever was ready that they could bring right away, they did. But then, whatever wasn't ready, they spent the rest of that day and that night preparing what they could bring, so that the very next morning, they could bring everything. And therefore, Mazahu, what did they merit? Hirchiv Gvulam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu widened their border. Shenemar ki Hirchiv Hashem Gvulcha. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a nice size territory because of their generosity. Not only were they generous, but there was enthusiasm, there was alacrity, there was effort put into their generosity, which gives us sort of another layer of this, that it's not about just, you know, when being generous when I feel like it, when I'm able to, but really making an effort to show that this is a priority. We see this, of course, it's not only a matter of tzedakah, but also in our avodas Hashem, we need to be generous as well. Need to be generous with our time and our resources to serve Hashem as well as individuals, as a community. Then Midrash finishes, Bizkun Mahu Markivo, in merit of what did he enlarge? Kasher di Berlach. So the Pasuk had finished Kasher di Berlach as Hashem spoke with you. Bizkun Aser Hadibro Shigibaltim. Because of your willingness, your open mindedness in accepting the Aser Hadibro, so Kadosh Baruch Hu widened your territory. And Dava Acher, Kasher Diber Bizkut Avotecha, in merit of your forefathers, as we saw with Avraham Avinu. Okay, so on a similar theme, the last Midrash, number 18 in the Parsha, I think also gets, in a couple of different ways, you get a similar idea. So you have the Pasuk talks, later in the Parsha, talks about giving tithes. So when a person has a field, they have to give 10% of their produce and the different kinds of tithes, depending on what year it is. So aser ta'aser, and the Midrash also find this in the Gemara, famously says, aser bishvil shetit asher. You should be rich. You should tithe in order that you should become rich, become wealthy. Aser kidei shelo titchaser. And on the other hand, you should tithe in order that you shouldn't lose that money. So again, sometimes we might think that if I give too much tzedakah, then I won't have anything left. That's obviously true if you give away all of your assets, but you give away that sweet spot of your assets. On the one hand, not only will you not be lacking, but you might even come out wealthier. The Gemara Tanis brings this drasha as well. Aser bishvil shetit asher. Take a tithe so that you will become wealthy. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan found the son of Rish Lakish and asked him, you know, what did you learn in school today? So he said, aser taser. And so what's aser taser? So the child says, aser shetit asher. Or actually, I think it was the son asked Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains that you give a tithe in order that you become wealthy. And the boy says, you know, where do you know this from? And Rabbi Yochanan says, go try it out. And the boy says, what? Can you like test a Kaddish Baruch Hu like this? That can you make a condition? I'll do this mitzvah as long as you pay me back. Is that kind of condition that we're allowed to that condition we're allowed to make? So the pasuk in Malachi that says, "Habiyu kol ma'aser el beit ha'utzer, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, biter beveiti, and let there be food in my house." V'chanuni na v'zot, and thus put me to the test, Amar Hashem Tzvakot, im lo avtach lachem and arbot Hashemayim, I will surely open the floodgates of the sky for you, v'arikotu lachem bracha ad blidai, and I will pour down blessings on you. And the Gemara explains, what's ad blidai? The word dai means like enough, sufficient. So what's ad blidai? What does it mean to give up until sufficiency? So Rabbi Chama, Rami Bar Chana says in the name of Rav, until your lips are worn out from saying die, you're going to be saying, you're going to have an overabundance of resources that you're going to be saying die enough, and you're going to be sick of saying that word. I think many of us, would love for that to be a case. But it's an interest. What's going on there we're going to bring a miser in order that Kadosh Baruch Hu should make us rich. So I think I saw this also in Rav Simcha Raz, the idea that it's not really that we should tithe in order that we should become rich, but really the mindset should be that we should daven, that we should be mit asher, that we should become wealthy in order that to la aser. I think it's a very good way of looking at it, that it's not that we should do things so Kadosh Baruch Hu will be good to us, but we should. But obviously, Parnassah is in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should daven that we should be in the position that we are able to be generous. We should daven that we have the essence that we need so that we can be somebody who's generous. So the Midrash continues to say. So this pasuk is a hint for those who are merchants. They go out to sea, so they don't have fields, but they should still give meiser to those who labor in Torah. It's worth noting that the concept of meiser is actually debated whether or not that when it comes to income and when it comes to cash, if one technically is obligated to give meiser, you're not supposed to give more than 20%. So that's another way of understanding aser to aser. 20, it's 10 and 10 is 20%. So the concept of maaser is nice. The minimum of tzedakah of the Rambam says is at least to give a third of a shekel to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah. So somewhere in between that and 20%. So obviously we're supposed to be as generous as possible. 10%. Is a very noble goal as well. So I want to actually go to the end of Midrashas. There's more discussions, going pasuk by pasuk, and I think it's all good. But I think to get to the crux of what we have here. So later on section of the Parsha, it says, it tells us how we're supposed to relate to the Levi. Levi should be sharecha lo tazvenu, you should not neglect the Levi. And then later on, it says, Vaha Levi ki ein lo chet v'nachalayimach, the Levi who has no, they don't have land. So when they come to you, and likewise when the ger, the yatam, the almana, when the convert and the orphan and the widow come to you, they should eat and they should be satisfied, and Hashem will bless you. So the way Rashi quotes this idea, let's read a little bit. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon Omer, Mar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im Yeshecha Arba'a Bnei Batim, if you have four, say, types of people in your house, you have your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant. Those are the people who are important to you. Ishto kegufo, spouse is also part of that. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vayni yishli arba benim bnei bayit." I have four as well, and they are the Levi, the Ger Yatam, v'almana, the Levi, the convert, the orphan, the widow, the people who don't necessarily have anybody to take care of them, people who are more vulnerable. So those are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. So the way Rashi quotes this idea is that if you make my people happy, then I'll make your people happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take care of those who are vulnerable, then I'll take care of your family as well. But the way the Midrash says it is, imatam misameach etche, and all these, by the way, later on, when it comes to, at the end of the Parsha, and I think when it comes to Sukkot, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe by Shavuos, later on in the Parsha Moanim, so yeah, so it talks about in chapter 16, verse 11, it says, all those people are supposed to have simcha. So the way the Midrash says is, if you cause my people as well as your people, but my people as well, in your house, on Yontif, I will cause not only my people, but your people to rejoice in the Beis HaMikdash as well. That I will bring everybody to my holy mountain, and they will rejoice before Hashem. This, I think, adds another layer. It's not just a nice act of tzedakah to invite people in our homes. And obviously, this is not just about giving tzedakah, but it's about giving people a sense of companionship and giving them... and being emotionally generous and making sure that they're emotionally taken care of and that that people are comfortable. But this isn't merely just about giving tzedakah, but this is the act that can bring redemption. This is the act that can bring geula. By taking care of those who need it, we are literally causing Kodesh Baruch Hu to want to bring geula to us, so everybody together can be happy in the Beis HaMikdash. Just want to end by quoting from an article by Arthur Brooks, I believe of Harvard. He writes a weekly column, or nearly weekly column, in the Atlantic about happiness. And the title of this article is "Give Your Money, Give Your Time, Don't Tell Anyone." And he starts by talking about, he wrote this at the end of December. So he said, you know, the end of the year, it's not just a holiday season, but there's also, you know, at the end of the tax year, people are making charitable contributions for tax purposes. But he says, giving is never a one-way transaction. Donating publicly to a prominent charity might bolster your reputation. As we said, sometimes people are generous, but there's a little bit of a motivating factor there, which is okay. And even when we send gifts to friends and family, so you know, again, there's a perhaps a utilitarian purpose of strengthening their relationship and trying to keep on good terms. But if you really want to reap the benefits of giving to others, you need to forgo all these perks. That sometimes, you know, when we get the thank you and we get the recognition, so it feels good. But true happiness, he says, you'll get deeper, lasting happiness from a good deed that no one knows you did. And he talks about the way that voluntary giving boosts our mood, and the way charity actually increases our pleasure. And he cites scientific data on this, which is very fascinating. And he quotes none other than, of course, than the Rambam. Rambam said that it's better to give anonymously than to give when the person knows who you are. So there's certainly something to be said for that. But he goes on to say that the way we should give, so number one, we should give more than money, which is absolutely true. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about giving a miser of our time. But he says giving expertise, energy, affection. It's also the same thing with Simchas Yom Tov, that we're not just giving money to the Yatam and the Almana, but we're giving them our affection, we're giving them our love. But we have, besides money, we have all sorts of resources and assets that we can give people that can, and we can help people in all sorts of ways. If we have expertise that can help them advance in some way in life, so that's a very good thing to do. And you know, sometimes obviously you can't do things entirely anonymously, but he says at least, you know, refrain from bragging about it, talking about it. Don't have to share it with everybody. But he says that's a very good thing. And he says also use your giving to express yourself. Use your giving to express yourself. I think certainly a message that we can take from this parsha, both from Kirchiv Hashem El Kacha Et Kulcha, and also from Aser Taser, is that generosity is not, as I said before, a difficult thing sometimes, and especially not something that necessarily is always altruistic, but to what extent we are able to do altruistic giving, to be generous, is it's good for us. But on top of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes due note of it, and it's something that it's a kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays. And obviously, we're not supposed to do things just so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to manipulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we should get a little bit of peace from the fact that that the extent to which we're able to be generous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be generous with that in return. Have a great week.